Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Mark My Words here on the Life Coach Radio Network, and today is June 22nd, 2014. I'm Mark Shaw, broadcasting live from New York City. I'm a certified life and business coach, and twice per month I host Mark My Words, which is a life coaching-oriented show where I interview various people with inspiring life stories of overcoming adversity. I also speak with authors of great coaching-related books and programs, as well as many others who've got great things to say. So tune in the first and third Sunday of every month, or visit markmywordsradio.com for the most updated schedule changes. So it's great to be here this evening, and I actually have just got back from a two-week stint in Europe where I was teaching a coaching class as well as then traveling on a singing tour with the New York City Gay Men's Chorus, with which I've been an 18-year singing member. And we just performed in London and in Dublin and did 5 concerts in 9 days. Then I came back and led a coach training weekend here in New York for IPEC Coaching. I'm still slightly jet-lagged, I think. I'm exhausted. I ran home, and here I am about to do my show after inhaling dinner for the last 5 minutes. So I am present and ready to go. So I guess having an abundant life is something to be thankful for. And how do we create an abundant life, actually? How do we create the life we want, sometimes from nothing or from what we have that might actually even feel like nothing? How do we manifest the life we want when we're starting from zero, or worse yet, when we're starting from tremendous loss? Where can we find the courage and the strength to create the life we want and the joy that we deserve when we aren't sure where to begin? These are fundamental questions that many of us struggle with in our careers, our relationships, and many other areas of our lives, and are lots of questions that a lot of my clients ask continually. So I thought it would be a good topic for tonight's show. So I decided to bring a fellow coach and friend of mine, Ms. Tamara Lane, onto the show to help me discuss this important topic. So a little bit about Tamara. With a career in the film business, Tamara and her husband, Gary, were living the Hollywood dream, and they were about to start a family. They were about to build a new home. And then in his mid-30s, Gary got diagnosed with cancer, and everything changed for Tamara. And over the next 3 years, by the time of Gary's death, Tamara had lost all sense of purpose and pretty much any desire to continue living. But out of an intense desire to honor Gary and who he believed she could be, she decided not to waste the rest of her life. She knew that she'd been given gifts, and she wanted to use them. So no longer being a victim and no longer being full of anger, Tamara made a choice to believe in herself and make some changes. And it paid off, because today she lives a life that she never imagined would be possible. So today, Tamara and I are going to be discussing how to put your life together, or back together for that matter, from nothing, by examining how she made this shift and how you can too in order to create the life you desire. Tamara is now a life coach, and she coaches cancer survivors and caregivers, and she's going to share with us her 5 key steps for creating an extraordinary life. So Tamara, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Mark. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Great. It's exciting to have you here with me. So I just love working with you, and I love the opportunities that we've had to work together. And so it's just really, really great to be able to do that much more. So thanks for being here. And I know that for some listeners who've contacted me prior to the show, some through the Facebook invite and just some through other emails and whatnot, this is apparently quite an important topic to some folks. And so I'm glad that we're talking about it tonight. And just so everybody knows, we will be taking your calls as well. So please feel free to give us a call if you have any questions or even just a challenge of your own that you'd like to hear us comment on. The number to call in is 646-716-9397. That's 646-716-9397. And that number also appears on your screen where you clicked to listen to the show. So right above the player that you're listening to the show on your computer, if you scroll to the top of the screen, you'll see that guest call-in number, which once again is 646-716-9397. So we hope to take your calls. And if you dial in and you want to ask a question, please be sure to press the 1. That will put you through into the queue. Otherwise, you'll just be listening to the show, but we won't know you have a question. So great. So Tamara, tell us briefly your story of being on top of the world, living the dream, living that Hollywood dream with a film career, and then rather suddenly losing it all, including your will to continue living.
Well, Mark, it was quite a time that we were in the middle of having when Gary was diagnosed with cancer. We were both young filmmakers working successfully in Hollywood, and I actually was running his art department. He was a production designer, so he was responsible for designing the look of the film. And we were working on big Hollywood movies with directors like Joel Schumacher and working with actors like Nicolas Cage. So it was a very, very exciting time, and Gary had gone through the process of taking his amazing art and production design skills and designing a home for us. So we literally had all the next steps planned out. We felt like we'd made a lot of the right decisions in our lives. We'd waited to get married. We'd waited to start a family until we were financially secure. So we checked off all the boxes, and then life happened. Mm-hmm. And it came out of the blue. And obviously turned our world upside down. And over the course of 3 years, we went through some pretty big ups and downs with, you know, the experience, and found it very challenging at times, even though we had a lot of support in things like we had good insurance, and often a lot of the cancer survivors and caregivers or, you know, people who are dealing with other chronic illnesses go through this experience and they don't have insurance or they don't have a good insurance policy. So, you know, we had resources like that. We had done a lot of personal development work together. So we drew on a lot of those tools, and still it wasn't enough. So when I went through the experience of losing Gary, I really, really struggled. There was part of me who is the doer and the planner. That was my role in Hollywood. I was a very highly paid production coordinator. So I know how to plan, and I know how to follow through. And when I have a plan and a strategy, I do fine. And I had no plan for this. And that's where a lot of people get stuck or stopped. And so I woke up with, you know, basically no future, no husband, no dreams, and literally no desire to go on, and only a part of me knowing that I did have to recreate my life without him, but not knowing how to take that first step.
Wow. That sounds like, I mean, I just can't even begin to imagine the pain that you must have been in at that time.
It was devastating, absolutely devastating. And it's interesting, the other day I was actually looking through some photos from the past, and I came upon this one that was about 4 years after, 4 or 5 years after Gary died. And I looked at myself, and I looked dead in the eyes. I did not look present. I did not look happy. There wasn't that glow around me. If you've seen my pictures on my website, then, you know, or me in person, you know I'm now somebody who is very energized and engaged and excited in, you know, in everything that I'm doing. And she just wasn't there at that moment.
Mm. Wow. How long did you remain in that space?
I feel like I lost about 6 years of my life to the grief process. So
wow.
It took me, I was probably around year four, I started to be able to feel like I was living again. I felt like from year four to five and six, where I'd be lucky to get to at life was being content. I kept thinking, if I could just get to being, you know, content with my life, maybe that's the best I can hope for.
Wow.
And that's a long time. There's a long period of time to lose, you know, from your life as far as being actively engaged and moving forward and making plans and being excited, especially right in the middle of your life.
Sure. I'd like to ask you to elaborate, especially for those listeners who have been through tragedies similar to yours or at least of similar intensity. What, if you can comment a little bit on what it actually felt like. What did your life look like during that time? Because any listeners out there that have been through similar stuff, I kind of want them to really hear stuff that they can relate to about how they might be feeling right now.
You know, it was an experience of, well, often feeling like I was just getting up, kind of like Groundhog Day, over and over, and doing the same things, trying to keep a routine. There were days definitely where I found myself, you know, on the floor, like literally on the floor. There were times when I felt like I was living inside a very, very dark space. And I was lucky to have the support of family and friends. You know, they reached out and kept me connected as much as they could. But I definitely went through a period of, you know, what I would call grief-related depression. And it was kind of feeling like walking around with this very heavy, dark cloud, this dark weight, and just slogging through mud to get through each day. So not a very enjoyable experience at all. And at times feeling like I'd literally been ripped open. You know, it was so raw and so painful to go through my life, because I had an amazing marriage. I was married to a wonderful, extraordinary man and had such a great future planned for him. So it really literally gutted me.
Wow. Yeah, well, again, I just can't even begin to imagine what kind of pain that must be. So I'm really curious then. So after close to 6 years of that, or at least 4 years is when things began to turn around for you, I'm curious, Tampa, what the moment was where one thing or whatever it was that came along and began to change everything. What happened that turned you around?
I spent a lot of time with my covers pulled over my head and, feeling sorry for myself and definitely feeling a victim to the circumstance that my life had been destroyed by this loss. And there was just a moment of clarity I had one day where I stopped and I was taking stock of the time that had been lost, the time that was going by for me. And as I looked at the concept of time, I realized that the time that I had spent with the covers over my head and going through the pain, and absolutely some of that is, you know, necessary, some of that is a healing part, but I'd gotten stuck in it and I'd become overwhelmed by it. And in that one moment of clarity, in that conversation in my head about time, I realized I'd actually been given time that Gary hadn't been given. And that if he had had those days or weeks or months of time, that's not how he would have spent them. And so it really was my connection to him and my understanding of who he was and how he would have taken advantage of the time if he'd been given extra time that spurred me into action, where I was literally like that, pulling your bootstraps up and going, you know what, this has got to stop now because you've been given a gift and more time than he had. So what is it that you want to do with it?
That's a profound realization, especially to have at a moment when, at a time when everything is just so dark, right? It's just really, it's amazing that dawned on you and that you were able to see that. I guess when we get tired enough of grieving, we're ready to move on, but really not before, huh?
I feel like when we're struggling through it on our own with no resources and or tools, then often that's the time heals all wounds, you know, thing, which I don't actually buy into that either. I think time does create a lot of healing. I think that I will always have a sense of missing Gary, so that will always be present for me, but I don't suffer with that loss anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But if I look back at that moment, you know, at that moment and that experience, it was, it definitely took time to get there. I've done some coaching of people who have gone through the grieving process after I got my training and became a coach, and I've watched them recreate their lives in so much less time, not experiencing the loss and the grief. You still experience that, but they were able to, you know, kind of live those steps moving forward, starting to recreate or step forward with much greater ease and peace than the struggle that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, that was my experience that I had, and yes, you can push through it and find something somehow, but that's kind of like hoping like it's going to work out.
Mm-hmm.
And what I know now is that there are resources and people out there who are trained in modalities like coaching who can actually help you through that with some different insights and tools that you may not have access to, particularly in the time that you're going through that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the blessing, that we actually can reach out and find these kinds of resources. I just didn't have access to them, so I had to rely on myself.
Right. Sure. And I know that through doing that and then through, you know, subsequently helping other people as a coach, that over the time that you've been a coach and been helping people through similar circumstances, that you've created kind of a five-step formula for the success that you've reached and for the comeback that you created for yourself. So can you walk me through what is that five-step formula for success?
I actually created this by kind of looking back after I got through the really, really tough stuff and I started to piece my life back together again and I got my training as a coach. I looked back and said, okay, so what was it that I did? What was my success formula to get here? Because I had done most of it intuitively. And I realized that the first step was to take time to rediscover my true life purpose. You know, I'd had a whole purpose around my life with Gary and the marriage we were creating and all our plans. And so I didn't have that anymore. So I asked myself this question at one point. If I'm here and I have time in my life to move forward and do something, what is it that matters to me most? And what mattered to me most was helping others. That I saw gave meaning to my life. And once I had kind of a handle on that thread, I felt like that if I kept following that thread and asking that question, how can I help others, how can I help others, that it would lead me to a way of expressing and being able to create that purpose. So that was step number one.
So step number one, rediscover or discover your true life purpose.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of great tools and exercises out there that people can do. There's, you know, there's books on discovering your life purpose, and there's coaches that help with that. So it's not like you have to sit there and kind of figure it out on your own necessarily. But you can by simply asking yourself, what is it that matters to me most? Or when you go into some kind of, you know, kind of like legacy thinking of when I leave this planet, what do I most want to leave behind that will have made a difference? So those are some questions you can ask yourself to start to uncover what is it I really care about? What are my priorities around creating right now? When you know that, step number two is create a plan. So I found, especially through coaching, when human beings have an action plan and we're not facing a blank slate or feeling like we're living in a black hole, we just simply do better. So if I have my life purpose of I want to help others, then what's my plan to be able to start to generate that and live that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the first step was actually doing some volunteering. So that was a way that I helped others. And in fact, my Christmases were often an occasion when I would choose to go out and volunteer, because it was a hard time of year for me. It was a holiday that Gary and I really enjoyed together. And so this was a way that I could live my purpose and also be connected with others to a time that could be emotionally sensitive for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then later it became creating the plan of, well, if I really want to help others, what does that look like for me? It started as writing a book about my experiences to help people understand how to recreate their life after loss. And as I was going through that process, I met somebody who was training at IPEC as a coach, and they shared with me about the coaching program and said, I think that you will help many, many people with a book, but even more people if you become a trained coach. So mm-hmm. then it just became creating the plan about how do I become a coach. And when I had that plan,
right.
I was doing so much better in my life.
Well, I've often heard it say, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So, creating a plan is so important in so many areas. I mean, not just when we're in a crisis that we're trying to get out of, but, really for anything. So it makes sense that it would help there, too. We do have some calls coming in that I want to get to, but I want to kind of run through the other three steps first. So we've got discover, to begin with, your true life purpose, create a plan. I know that step three you have is, because we've talked about this, of course, before, small sustainable changes over time that lead to a bigger transformation, building your tribe, which is a support system that truly supports, and then five is being extraordinary daily. So comment on those. We'll come back to them, but if you could just kind of comment on each of those for a moment, and I'd like to get to some of the callers, and then we'll come back to that. So step three, small sustainable changes over time leading to transformation. Tell me a little more about that.
It's really moving away from the all or nothing thing. Sometimes if we want to make a change in our life, we tackle it with a little bit too much gusto and take on everything all at once, and then it becomes overwhelming, and it doesn't become something that is part of our muscle memory that we're doing over and over again, and then creating a new habit or a new way of showing up. So it's focusing on one change at a time and doing that over the course of time. So a quick example of that is that when I was really struggling in the beginning, I decided that going to the gym would be a good way for me to get some good, hormones going and, rewire my brain chemistry. And so that was the only change that I really tried to create, was to go to the gym 3 times a week for 30 minutes. I didn't try to change my nutrition. I didn't try to join a support group. I just focused on that. And by 30 days out, that started to become a very consistent pattern, and I started to feel better and better. So one step at a time. Building your tribe, very simply, taking a look at who do you have in your life who's supporting you right now in the way that you want to be supported, and being sure that when you ask people for support, that they are in a space that they're able to give you what you need. So really to cut the chase on that one, you're not going to be hanging out with negative Mellies if what you want is positive change in your life. So be
right.
conscious about who you're surrounding yourself with. And be extraordinary daily. That's you defining what is an extraordinary moment for you. And it can be as simple as appreciating a beautiful sunset or taking a moment to do some painting or a walk outside. If that is extraordinary for you, include one thing like that every day.
That's great. That's great. That's really, those are some great tips. And we'll come back to those in a little bit more detail, I think. But actually, we have a caller that I would like to bring on here, who's also been Facebook messaging me. So we're very excited. So go ahead. From area code 314, you're on the air. Welcome to
Hi.
My work.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
I'm trying not to cry right now. Hi, let's see, what's your name again?
Tamara.
Tamara, thank you so much. I'm overwhelmed. I was very intrigued with his title. because I've been in the up and the down, and now I'm on the down on the up. And so I was really interested to see, I hadn't heard anybody talk about living the dream, then losing the dream, and then back again. And so I really wanted to hear from you guys and to hear how did you make it through that? Because I'm really pressing now. I'm on a better side now. I'm doing very well. I'm crying because I'm excited, not because I'm sad. I'm past that. But the process that you went through is like what I had to go through. I had no point of reference. I had no body to say, Sharon, take these steps, or Sharon, take that step. But I had to go through a series of some traumatic things in order to get me here. So I'm really just listening. I'm just listening. I'm just listening. And I'm excited because I'm an IPEC graduate. I had no idea you guys were from IPEC, which means the universe is loving in me and confirming my way. And I'm just excited. I was just talking to someone about how, I guess I can ask you since I got you on here, how do I get my dreams out of my head and into manifestation? That's where I'm at right now. I'm finally at a place where I'm peaceful, I'm safe, I'm confident, I'm assured. I moved to Florida. That's where I am now. And but now I just want to know how to get my business going, how to get more income generated in, because I'm still kind of on the down end of it. I haven't gotten on the financial up end yet. So that's where I'm at right now in the process.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good question. Good question. So actually, Tamper, before I have the comment, I'd like to just kind of ask you a question, Sharon. First of all, yeah, I love that you've called, and I love that you're having such an aha right now, and almost the synchronicity about the IPEC connection, right? And actually, the other thing to know is not only am I an IPEC grad, but I am also an instructor at IPEC. So I teach the program in New York and DC, as well as Toronto and even in London as well. So you got a real strong IPEC connection here. For listeners who don't know what we're talking about, as far as IPEC goes, IPEC is a coach training institute. It's one of the top training institutes in North America, or I would say in the world, actually. Tamper's a graduate of there. Apparently, Sharon is too, and that's also where I was trained. So anyway, so I would ask you, Sharon, to just kind of start with, like, what as a coach, as a trained coach, right? What do you know about where to get started manifesting any dream that you have that you could use for your situation?
Well, I'm ain't smarting.
Okay.
I got the bigger picture, breaking it down to smaller pieces. I've made great connections, as you said, Tamara is her name.
Yeah, Tamara, T-A-M-B-R-E, Tamara.
Tamara, okay. And I make great connections here in Florida with the Women's Prosperity Network group that is giving me opportunities to get my business. I'm starting to sign up for, like, I'm going to do what? Let me give you the end result. My goal, I specialize in transitional coaching. I love it because, of course, I found myself in a place of transition and I had no help. So needless to say, that is my passion for others. But my love is motivational speaking. And so I want to work on that. So I'm going to a speaker boot camp next month in Tallahassee. It's going to help with that. And trying to put together materials that go along with my speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So great. I guess I hope, I don't know if I answered that or not.
Yeah, no, certainly. And so what I hear is that, you know, as far as Tambra's five steps, right, you have a plan, right?
Yes.
You've created a plan, and you're beginning to execute it. And it's really about, you know, the motivation and really continuing to remain committed to that plan. And also, you know, as we know as coaches, looking at what truly stops you. Is, you know, because when we don't stick to a plan, there's something stopping us. I really believe that every one of us would have everything we want in our lives if there wasn't something in the way. So it's a matter of really looking at what's really in the way, what fears are really stopping you, what gremlins do you have that are telling you you're not good enough, what limiting beliefs do you have that stop you in the world. I'd like to turn it over to Tambra and just hear, Tambra, what response you might have for Sharon as well to kind of tack onto that.
Well, Sharon, I'm so glad you called in. I find that what happens when people share, you know, their experience like you just did, and then start to speak out into the world what it is that they're actually doing, it's an opportunity to recognize that you may be further along than you thought you were.
Okay.
Mm, yep.
Because
okay.
That's a pretty robust plan that you have in place. You're living in a place that, you know, you chose to move to Florida and you're there. You're connecting with the Women's Prosperity Network. That's part of building your tribe. You're creating your small changes over time. You've got your plan. And
yes.
You have a clear vision that, along with coaching transitions, you also want to be doing motivational speaking.
Okay.
You know, you said that you're excited. So,
yes.
What would you say you most need to continue to expand and step forward into that vision so more and more of it's happening every day?
Opportunities. And I'm trying to position myself. One of the things, I'm also in a mastermind accountability group every week to help me stay on task. And I was just telling another iPad coach that we do a Blog Talk radio show on Saturdays called Empowered on Every Call. Lee is her name, and she's a blessing. Like I said, she's an iPad a graduate as well, and I was sharing with her that I know that I'm ready, and I know that all I need is a platform where my voice can be heard. I'm over my gremlins, and I'm over the limited beliefs. I worked very hard and diligently, both through coaching and therapy, to get over all of that, and so now I'm fearless, as Bruce would say. What do it take? You know, and I'm ready to go. I think I'm a little anxious because I know, you know how you know you've done the work and it's right there. You can taste it, but you're still kind of where you are and you're not where you're going to be. And I just need an opportunity. I believe that I have the voice that the people need to break through their struggles based on the things I've come through, and it's all because of you guys, because I didn't believe this 3 years ago. When I went through IPEC, I was very broken. I was broke up. I had level one, minus one energy, but I had a determination, and that has been my driving force, where my level one turned into something for me rather than against me, and I used that victim to say, I won't let this happen to me again. And so my energy level has increased tremendously as a result of going through that coaching process. So, again, answer to your question, I just know I was just telling my friend, I was like, just give me a mic. Did they just give somebody give me a mic? I'm sure, because I'm sure of myself, I'm sure of my energy, I'm sure that, and one of the things you said that I have come to terms with, it's not about me, that there are people out there who want to hear that they can make it through. I had a series of deaths, one behind the other. I was homeless for 6 months. 11 years ago. Son died in his sleep. I got divorced. Had a nervous breakdown, you know, and the coaches at IPEC convinced me that I was further mm-hmm. than I believed I was. And they believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. And so here I am. And I'm
right.
excited. I'm excited.
Yeah. Mark, I'd love for us to chat a little bit about creating opportunities, because I think for everybody listening on the line, that's a big piece of this conversation that we're having today. So
yes.
when you do get to that point, when you take the five steps that I've talked about and you do get to that point and you feel like you're ready and all you need is opportunities, what would you want to add to the conversation about that next chunk?
I'm sorry, there was a little bit of a signal problem. What was the question you asked at the end of that?
Oh, I was asking you because obviously, you know, you coach a lot of people and
right.
and you train a lot of IPEC coaches. So when
yep.
it comes to this conversation of I'm ready and all I need is opportunities, what would you want to throw in the mix there about the topic of opportunity and creating opportunity in your life?
Gotcha. Great. Really, really great question. So one of the things that we talk about, this will make a little bit more sense to any of the other IPECers that are on the air, which many of my listeners are, but it's that level five energy, which is all about creating opportunity. So for those out there who aren't sure what I'm talking about, what we're talking about is a level of consciousness with which we view the world from a place of the question or the lens of what's the opportunity here? You know, because life, I really believe that when we look at life and we experience life, we don't have the ability to experience it and look at it objectively. We can only look at it through a particular lens at any given time. So it becomes about being able to control and choose consciously which lens we put on in order to look at life. And different lenses make things look different. So if you put on a lens of conflict or a lens of, as you mentioned earlier, Sharon, victim energy, the level one victim energy, then when you look at the world through a lens of victimhood, all you see are the things that make you feel victim. If you have the lens of conflict, all you see are things that put you in conflict. So if you change the lens to one of, well, what is the opportunity here? Any situation you look at, you increase the likelihood that you're going to find opportunity. So I always encourage people to ask that question constantly throughout the day. What's the opportunity here for me? You know, the more you ask that question, the more that will show up. We teach coaches that if you're not getting the answer that you're looking for, ask a different question. So it's about giving up the question, why me, why did this happen? Because all you're going to get is answers that are focused on that, and changing it to what's the opportunity in this? And then that's what starts to show up. And for example, for Tamber with you, right, you really created and saw opportunity to reach out and help others that are going through similar things. And now you've created a career out of doing that where you get to contribute in really, really significant ways to other people and get back from it and actually earn a living doing that. You know, which is important, because if we can't earn a living doing our life's work, we can't do our life's work. So Sharon, what I'm hearing from you in the area of opportunity is you're looking for the opportunities. You know you want them. You know that they're there, and you believe that they're there. And that's a good start, because if you didn't know and believe that they were there, then they would never show up. So
okay.
In that regard, I have to say that you're really doing the right things there. I just want to pause for a second, and we'll come back in just a moment. But I just want to pause and just do some plugs for our upcoming shows, which I usually do halfway through the program, but we're at least a little more than halfway through because we've had some rich discussion going on. So just moving on to that, the next show that we have here on the Life Coach Radio Network is tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and that is Spiritually Speaking with Reverend Jen and Rebecca. So the every second and fourth Monday of the month, Reverend Jen and Rebecca bring on guests who are progressive men and women who are changing the church for good. So in this particular episode, they're going to welcome Reverend Sarah Bateau, who is the founding pastor of Common Ground, which is a farm-to-table church that gathers monthly on Thursday evenings. And they create community through creating a meal together and creating a community that is radically inclusive and open to all, regardless of means and regardless of all the other ways in which we may divide ourselves. So tune in there, and I'm just going to comment and say that I hope that one of those differences that is included, because it's one of the most controversial in the church, will also include differences in sexual orientation and gender identity. Then on Tuesday at noon is Fund to Fortune Entrepreneur Startup Success with Coach Jeff. So Jeff Valensky on his show joins with people who've created fun businesses and uncovered their fortune in the process. So you can listen to that and leave that show feeling informed and educated, gain a few new ideas and new perspectives through conversation, some coaching, and hearing from those who have found their fortune. And then on Thursday at 12 noon, we have Leanne Parsons' show, which is Walk Your Talk with Leanne. So Leanne's a certified professional coach with a specialization in working with adoptees and their families, and she helps them build bridges. So I invite you to tune in on Thursday at 12 noon. And then, of course, my next show, which is the date of which is July. Oh, boy, I have to look for it. Wait for just one moment here. Where is it? Here we go. July 13th. And I'm really fascinated by the gentleman I'm going to be interviewing on my July 13th show. His name is Larry, Larry Klopek. And Larry ran the Boston Marathon on crutches, ran the entire Boston Marathon on crutches because he had his leg amputated at age 7 from cancer. And he's got an amazing life story. Talk about, you know, really building up your life with some severe obstacles in your way. This is one of the most inspiring people I think I've ever met. So I'm really happy to have Larry and his wife on the show on July 13th, so be sure to tune in for that. So we are talking with Tambra Lane about putting your life back together, putting it together to begin with or back together from nothing. And Tambra's been sharing her own personal tragedy and how she then has bounced back from that and really created an extraordinary life. So we were talking about creating opportunities and how to do that and about looking at life through a lens of opportunity. So again, I just want to reiterate that when we're looking at life through a lens of opportunity, we see opportunity. If we look at it through a lens of conflict and despair, we see conflict and despair. And those other levels are appropriate at times, but we also want to make sure that we're choosing them when they're appropriate rather than them choosing us, and then we don't have a choice. So what do you see in that for yourself, Sharon?
I'm sorry, say that again, that last part?
What do you see in what I've said about looking at the world through a lens of opportunity? What do you see in that for yourself?
I'm a note taker. so what was... what was really good with Tambra was when she said how do you create opportunity? And then when you talked about asking the right question and ask it again, if I'm not getting the right answer, then maybe I need to ask another question. And I have really change the lenses of my eyes, and it feels really, really good. I went to the Millionaire Mind Intense conference a couple of weeks ago, and
is that T. Harv Eker's program?
Yes, and
yeah, I've done that too. That's great.
Yes, it was amazing. What was amazing in conjunction to what you're saying for is my eyes and my lenses. They have, like, these questionnaire with all these different things that blocks and things, you know, when you do that little list, it's like 100 of it, seem like. And out of literally probably 100 things that says, you know, what are your top things that will stop you from doing this, I was amazed at how many of them I had overcome in the last 3 years. And maybe I had maybe one or two, like, if I get the money, will I be able to keep it and manage it? Mm-hmm. You know, those were types of things. So that really, like, resonates with me that now I'm seeing things through different lenses. Sometimes I get a little scared, you know, not, I think it's a healthy fear for just things I don't know, but, and how do I break through to get to it, but, you know, I'm really,
yeah.
I have new eyes now, you know, I'm looking
Absolutely.
Through a new level. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and I think that kind of fear is perfectly normal. It just doesn't have to stop us, right? We can really push through it. So I'm going to go ahead and move on because we actually have some other
sure.
questions coming into the chat room and other calls. So, Sharon, I really want to thank you so much for the call and look forward to just hearing some follow-up from you. Keep in touch, you know, on Facebook and let me know how you're doing. Reach out to Tambra as well. She'll be announcing her contact information. You can also reach it through the Mark My Words Radio website, and we'd love to hear how you're doing. So thanks so much, Sharon, for the call.
I want to say, make sure when you hear, put me in, coach, that's my tagline. That's me.
Great.
Thanks,
Sharon.
Great,
very cool. Thank you, Sharon. Wow, I'm so glad she called. That was really, that was some really great stuff. And, I just, you know, you heard the energy shift from her from the beginning of the call till the end as well. And I think that's one of the values of coaching, too, is, you know, we could just really shift somebody very quickly from one place to another, which then gives them the motivation they need to carry on. So, Tambra, I actually have a question from the online chat room here that somebody has asked. They wanted me to ask you if... to scroll back and find it. Here we go. Please ask Tambra if she believes that the change in mindset can come only when one is at his or her lowest. What do you think about that? Can the change in mindset, like the one you had, only come when we're at our lowest?
I have a tendency to prefer not to put absolutes on things. I think what I would... The flip I would kind of put on that is more around where our consciousness is at that moment. So it wasn't necessarily that I was in a space of rock bottom when I personally had that moment of clarity. I'd actually climbed back up quite a bit out of that really dark black hole.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely got insights while I was in the hole, the insight about, you know, what was one thing that I actually cared about. So step number one, finding your purpose. I did find that in that hole because I needed something to hold on to. I needed some flicker and something that I could catch on to, you know, and I literally saw it as a thread that if I could grab that thread, I knew I could weave a new story into my life was the conversation that was going on in my head.
Mm-hmm. Great.
So
great.
It's really, you know, more looking at if I'm listening to this radio show right now and I'm hearing these messages, why can't now be the perfect moment? I don't need to go further. I don't need to go lower. I don't need to go higher. What can I do now to make the change that I want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great. Great. We're going to pick up our next caller. There's actually several callers in the queue. I'm very excited about that. So we're going to pick up the caller whose last four digits of their phone number is 1983. You're on Mark My Words. Mm-hmm. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. So I just wondered, hi, my name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi. So I wondered if I can just ask a question or what you're supposed to do.
Sure.
So I'm moving in a week.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
So I'm moving out of state, and I've always been where I am, so it's a major change for me. I just wondered
mm-hmm.
what you see coming up in the next few months for me with this move. Maybe a few months to a year, you know.
Mm-hmm. I would actually ask just a little bit first, Lisa. So tell me a little bit more about the move. What's prompted it? And I'm assuming
what's
that your question
west?
Relates to creating a life for yourself once you make the move.
Yeah. So it's out west more. It's just not in this area. I'm in the Chicago area. And a more relaxed lifestyle and be warm and things like that. And I just wonder what you see for me in the next few months to a year.
Mm-hmm. Well, what's the plan that you have? What do you want to create for yourself?
Kind of a fresh start.
Mm-hmm. You know,
Go ahead, Mark.
Go ahead, Tamara. No, go ahead, Tamara.
Oh, I was going to say, when people go through a transition like moving to a new place, often one of the things that gets missed in amongst all the details of, you know, finding the job or the place where you're living or how I'm going to transport my things is that plan that underlies it all.
I have a plan. This has been going, very carefully planned. I just wanted to know what you see in the new location. This isn't just like something I'm doing for the moment or anything like that. Everything's carefully planned out. But I just wanted to know if you're getting any vibes or what you think, in the next 6 months. I didn't know if you're kind of like into that kind of thing where you can fill that out.
Oh, I see. So more from the, intuitive, almost intuitive kind of sense, like just what am I picking up
that
I see from you?
Well,
huh.
I don't know.
I mean, I believe that there are people that have those intuitive abilities that can really see that stuff. For me, I kind of get that through talking a little bit more with somebody. It's hard for me to just kind of pick it up from somebody without any history. I don't know. How about you, Tamara? Are you pretty similar to me in that regard?
I've done a lot of work around the intuitive, and the thing that I love about the whole coaching approach is really empowering the individual to really focus on the energy that they want to generate and what they want to create out of it. So when I said plan, it's like there's the logistical part of the plan, and it sounds like that's all handled, but what is it when I make this move, what is it that the experience that I want to create in that life there? Who do I want to be meeting? Who do I want to be spending my time with? What do I want to explore in my new home area? So having a sense of those kind of questions ahead of time, and even maybe doing some research, and because sometimes when people move, they can end up feeling a little bit isolated when they first move to a new place. It can take some time. So, there might be an activity that you really enjoy, and maybe it's even something you haven't done for a while.
I already have that area worked out, too. I have already a big
great
worship and, a couple things I'm joining that are going to be like a whole new network, like 2,000 people are there. And so, I kind of have that already planned. It just kind of fell into place. Just was right.
What are you really fired up about right now in your life?
Moving. I'm so excited just about the whole thing. I just feel like it's just time, and it's just very exciting, but it's also scary because I just haven't had a lot of change, and all of a sudden my whole life is like changing dramatically. So it's very interesting though, but sometimes it's a little stressful.
Sure. No, absolutely. That's normal to experience that kind of stress with a move too. It's moving to a new place is like one of the most stressful things we can experience in life. They have those top 100, those top 100 stressors, and that's like in the top 5, I believe. It's right up there with experiencing the death of a loved one and changing jobs and things like that. A recommendation I'd like to make to you, Lisa, before I pick up our next caller, is that one of the shows here on the Life Coach Radio Network that's hosted by Danielle Mercurio is called New You City Chat. And it's really focused on issues around making the best of the life that you have in whatever city you live in. So I think that might be a helpful show to listen to. So if you go to our website, blogtalkradio.com/lifecoachradionetwork, and just search the shows, you'll see Danielle's show on the schedule. Again, it's called New You City Chat, and I think that might be a really, really great resource for you as well. So we're going to move on to our next caller, but Lisa, thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it. Take care now. So also a really great question. And we have another caller. So, they didn't. There they are. So the caller calling from area code 865. Thank you for calling in. You're on Mark My Words.
Hi, Mark. My name is Barbara, and I have a question for Tamara. This is a great program, by the way.
Thank you. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your first name?
Barbara.
Barbara, great.
Yes.
So go ahead. What's the question you got for us?
Okay. In order for you to help others or coach others, you had to have exposed your pain or vulnerability every time you talked to someone or you spoke about it. How did you get past that pain of opening yourself up over and over again? How did you get past that?
That's a great question. And the answer is that sometimes I don't. So I actually just recently spoke at the OMG Cancer Summit for Young Adult Cancer Survivors. And in the closing remarks, at one point, I was speaking about Gary, and I did have an emotional moment. And I allow myself that. Of course, you're able to contain it so that, you know, I can continue on with the speech. But it is part of being authentic, especially when you're doing speaking out in front of a group. To allow them to see that the experience touched you, that there is meaning in what occurred, and that you can understand being in a place of pain and loss can really help somebody in the audience. Now, in coaching sessions, we're actually trained and we learn to keep our stories and ourselves out of it because it is all about the client. So from a professional standpoint, I received really great training from IPEC in how to make sure that if something comes up in a client session that does trigger a little bit of emotion for me, in literally how to kind of put a pin in it in the moment and show up in what we call level 4 energy, which is being of service to others, so being really fully present and there for that person. But then what I do after that, of course, is I take that little trigger or that moment that I put a pin in, and I go and get some coaching on it. So it's important as coaches that we also practice self-care and make sure that if things are coming up, that we go ahead and use our resources and turn to our coaches. And most of the leading coaches have coaches. So those are some of the tools and tips that I use. But I'm not afraid to share those painful moments or those raw moments, to talk about some of the harsh realities about, you know, what certain experiences were like, what it was like the morning that I had to go in and tell Gary that it was time to shave his head because he'd asked that of me, what it was like to be on the floor sobbing when I had lost him and not know if I could get up again, because being able to share that appropriately in a speaking situation or when I'm writing helps others understand that what they may be experiencing that might be similar, that similar depth of pain, is a normal and natural process of grieving, and we want to normalize it.
Yeah, and I'll also add to that that I think that, that even, like, if you know anybody who's ever been through alcohol or drug recovery, that's one of the basic tenets of staying sober and staying clean, is sharing your story to help others. And that's a very profound spiritual principle. We're not on this planet to live in isolation of one another. We can't have all the, no one of us can have all the experiences that there are to have. And we get to have more of them and benefit from other people's experiences so that we can then experience more of life. So the whole thing about sharing our story when we're ready to, I think there's a point in our recovery from any tragedy when we become ready to share our story and pay it forward. And we can't do that before we're ready. Because if we do, then it could be harmful, because then we're too vulnerable at a time when it's not appropriate to be. But I think when our intuition and our hearts tell us that it's time to do that, it's time to share with others to make a difference in the world, then it's time to do that. I think that it's, you know, as we look at what's our purpose, you know, we always have that question. Every one of us has the question of what's the purpose of my life? What am I here to do? And then some personal tragedy might really make it clear my purpose is to help others, you know, in these ways. So, and by carrying my story, you know, on to others. So, you know, I just kind of wanted to add that. So,
well,
thank you, Barbara.
Thank you. I think the point that you made about you have to be ready, I think that answered part of the question as well. So, Tamara, thank you, and thank you, Mark, for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling, Barbara. Thank you so much. So, great.
You know, Mark, it's interesting because it's a little bit of what seems to be missing some days in modern society. You know, the tribal storytelling circle was a place of great healing. And that's one of the things I love about memoir. So there's a lot of healing resources out there of writers who have written about loss or challenges or transitions. But when we read their stories, that's kind of like our modern-day tribal storytelling experience. And there's other ways that we can connect to other stories as well. It's very powerful, very empowering, and very healing.
Yep, absolutely. So, you know, we're just about out of time. I know we have so much more to talk about and to say and whatnot, but we are just about out of time. So I actually want to just kind of ask you as we wrap up, Tamara, what was the most important factor for you in your success formula, in your implementation of your success formula?
Absolutely, hands down, it was hiring an IPEC-trained coach. That was the big turning point in me being able to create a life living at like the highest level of performance ever, the highest level of engagement, and finding that passion and purpose again.
Mm. Great. So how can people reach you, Tamara, if they'd like to, and what would you like them to know about opportunities to work with you?
My website is wellbeyondordinary.com. And there's a contact form on the website if they want to get a hold of me. I have a blog that runs on the homepage of that very regularly and over 400 blog posts, so please feel free to search around and plug in some search terms under grief or loss or transition. You'll find lots of helpful resources. And my email, if they need it, is Tamara, and that's T-A-M-B-R-E, at wellbeyondordinary.com. So those are some great ways to read a little bit more about what I do and also get in touch with me.
Great. Well, Tamara, thank you so much for being on the show. This was really great. I think this is actually one of the better episodes of Mark My Words. And thank you to the callers as well, because I think they really contributed to making that. So thank you, Tamara, so much for being here tonight.
Oh, it was my pleasure, Mark, and I really enjoyed the callers calling in with the live questions. That was a lot of fun.
Yep, definitely. So, before we wrap up for tonight, I just want to say and invite everybody to feel free to mark your words if you'd like. So if you have feedback for us that you'd like to communicate to the Life Coach Radio Network, you can visit us at blogtalkradio.com/Life Coach Radio Network. Then click on the follow button and send us a message. Or if you'd like to send feedback directly to me or suggest a show topic, go to markmywordsradio.com. Click the home and contact button and scroll to the bottom and fill out the contact form. I really hope you enjoyed the past hour and that you found it engaging, enlightening, and stimulating. And I look forward to speaking with you all again on July 13th at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when I interview Larry Klopek. Thank you again, Liz, for listening to Mark My Words. I'm Mark, and those are my words. Good night.